All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Summit Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and we're going to get ready with some hymnal worship. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn in our red hymnals to page 365. 365. We're going to sing about how great God is. Amen. Not man, not politicians. We're going to sing about Jesus Christ and His glory, His power, and how He can change souls. Amen. And we're glad that we have some visitors here today. Praise the Lord, Brother Noam, and let's go and have a good time of worshiping the Lord together, and hope you enjoy today's service, Brother. How great thou art, page 365, and I'm very inspired today, very spirit-led by how good God is, amen, and I just want to sing about His goodness, not mine, not man's, the goodness of God, amen. God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power through the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art,
how great Thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. On the two. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. On the third. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Glory! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. On the last. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Sing it out, church. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Amen. Glory to God. Is God good? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go and turn our next hymnal here today to page 220. He leadeth me. Amen. Page 220 today in our hymn. Good singing, church. On the one.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I'll be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
On the two.
Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. On the third.
Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. On the last, church, sing it out.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, our last song is going to be a special sung by Sister Katie, my wife. And I don't think this is the song. It's another song called Doxology. I don't think she's going there. However, we will find it. It is way towards the front half of the red hymn today on 37, song 37. Sister Katie's going to sing a special, so let's go ahead and continue in that heart of worship as she
Page
sings
37, Doxology.
This song. Amen.
Everybody there? Okay.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
One more time.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. One more time from the top.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand and greet one another in Jesus' name. Fist bump, elbow, whatever y'all feel comfortable with. As Brother Kwame makes his way up here for some announcements. Amen.
Thank you for those donuts. Dang on dang. All right. Welcome to the Simple Faith Baptist Church, while the congregation continues to fellowship. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q if you like. It's a lot easier. I'm going to give some quick announcements for my online crowd right now. Thank y'all for joining us online. Just please follow along in the tabs here on the webpage as we continue to fellowship with one another. So as you see on this calendar tab here, this tab just shows us you, current, future, and former events here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. And it's pretty awesome because you can see that how, you know, one day out of the month we do the Lord's Supper, right? We want to do that in remembrance. And we did schedule it for today because we missed last month. So we're going to do the Lord's Supper this morning, all right? And also, one Wednesday out of the month, we have a prayer time where we want to pray for one another, right? So, that's good. That's good. Praise God. So, and now that one Wednesday out of the month, we do a prayer time service. And then any other updates on here, we'll try to keep this updated. So you just click the calendar tab and find out what's going on, right? About us, pretty simple. We're just a Bible-based church. We're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we love the Lord. And we want to stand on his word because his word is truth and right and pure and preserved and inspired by him. And we thank God for it. And so that Christ is the head of this church. No one's above one another here. We are all underneath in submission of the word of God. So praise God for that. All right. And that's pretty much our beliefs along with other sound Bible-based doctrines. Amen. All right. For our church team tab here, very simple. You have myself and Brother Carlos up there. If you want to reach us, feel free to contact me or Carlos via email where you can. We announced that. Yep. Yep. The Lord's Supper this morning. Amen. Sister, appreciate that. And so, again, if you want to reach Carlos, reach him via email, myself, email or phone. Feel free to contact us for any needs that we can help you. Feel free to do that. All right. Move along to this prayer tab. Prayer tab is the most important tab because the Lord continues to remind us to pray without ceasing. Continue to pray for one another, pray for another, pray for another. I need to pray more. We all cannot pray enough. So this tool right here is a very cool tool you can use where you can put your prayer requests. Maybe you want to pray for somebody else. Maybe you want us as a church to pray for somebody or yourself or one of your loved ones or somebody you know. Please don't feel free to submit that prayer request tab right here. Very easy. Name, email, prayer, title, details. And also praise reports as well. God, you want to let us know what God has done in your life. You know, give us another reason amongst the many to praise God. Go ahead and submit that that praise report right there in the same place. Feel free to do that. All right. So moving right along to the Get Connected tab here, this is basically our current and future ministries. So every Saturday, we try to remain faithful to getting out there and preaching the gospel in Oceanside City. We're usually around the Oceanside Pier area where the crowds are pretty big, where we can reach as many souls as possible with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Saturday, we're going out there. We're going to try to remain faithful to be out there every Saturday, anytime between 3 to 4-ish, all right? If you would like to join us, please feel free to contact the church number on the homepage, contact Carlos, or contact myself. That way we can get together, maybe carpool down there, and just be together as a body and preach Jesus Christ to a fallen world every Saturday. Amen. Wednesday nights we have our Bible study. And like I said, one Wednesday out of the month we do a prayer and a worship. But every other Wednesday of the month we're going to be having our Bible study, okay? So our Wednesday night Bible study, it's that refresher. You know, you go to church Sunday, and, you know, Monday, you're not gathering sometimes. Tuesday, you're not gathering sometimes. You have the work life, the family life. It's good to get back to church on Wednesday, and that way you can go ahead and get edified and have that good fellowship amongst one another. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and scroll down to the schedule right here on the right-hand side. Just a little more finer details. So every Sunday we have a Sunday school, 30-minute class. Awesome study we're going through called A Fascinating Truth by Brother James Knox. Awesome study. I'm learning a lot of different truths that I've not known before. Please join us every Sunday, 1 p.m., 30-minute class. In that 30 minutes, there's a lot of truth to learn in that 30 minutes, so praise God for that. Sunday servers we have, which is I'm giving announcements for, at 1:45, and we usually last till about 3, depending on how much we fellowship, amen. And Wednesday nights we talked about, every Wednesday night at 7, we're going to gather together, and that one Wednesday out of the month, we're going to go ahead and have that prayer and that worship. And then moving to that Friday. Friday nights is our discipleship class at 6:30. I try to get here on time. I know I have a lot of things going on at work, but I try to make my best because our Fridays is what we call direct ship in the Marine Corps. We're kind of off topic, but where the recruits get transferred to the MCT. And so we definitely try to make it there. I know I try to make it there. But I just want to show you a couple books that we're going through on that Friday night. So we have Understanding the Scriptures by Brother James Knox. It just teaches you how to rightly divide the Word of God, because the Word of God can be wrongly divided. You can have these truths but misplace those truths. Awesome study called One Book Right Divided. Same thing, how to rightly divide the Word of God, because God tells us to do so. We're commanded to do that. We want to do it right. All right, so Friday nights, we're going to learn how to do that at 6:30. Please join us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. All right, so last couple tabs before we get into the Word of God. All right, we're going to go to this here live stream tab. This live stream tab just tells you all the platforms we're now streaming on: Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and podcast as well. I know Brother Carlos said he's going to update that. So tune in as you see fit. Podcast is pretty cool because you can listen to the Word of God without having to look at video, so it's very convenient for driving. So please utilize that. Get that Word of God in you. But most importantly, you need to gather, because that's what God tells us to do as Christians, all right? Last two tabs is a Bible study tab here. This Bible study tab has the Lauder brothers we personally met these guys. We've looked at a lot of their teachings, and they're solid. So we want to go ahead and honor these brothers here, and it's for you to learn from them as well, because, I mean, we're not the only Bible-based church in the world. There are a lot of Bible-based teachers, Bible-based history teachers, and it's there for you. So please utilize that, and so you can add to your faith knowledge, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. All right, so moving right along to this last tab here is the giving tab, and this is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you purpose in your heart as unto the Lord, you give. It's up to you. Now, you don't have to give to us, but the Lord commands you to give to wherever you fellowship at. We just have this available for if you would like to give to here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. The PayPal is the program behind it, and you just follow the instructions. Very simple. Proceed to payment, and that's that, all right? But it's between you and the Lord. The Lord knows our hearts, and it's between you and Him. So that we have that available there for you, though. All right. Well, with that being said, I welcome up Brother Carlos. Get ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. Let's go again. The Lord, hand of praise for Brother Quamain. Amen. We want to thank God for a faithful brother in Christ. With that said, please do me a favor. Turn your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. This is going to be our base text for today's message, 2 Timothy 3 and 4. And for those of you who know how we do it at our church, we like to say we get on the Bible train and we go from stop to stop. Well, this is going to be our base text for today's message. And then, of course, we will go from various places of Scripture for reference. But just know that this is where we're going to be at today. I do want to thank God for our guest today, and I want to thank God for those of you who are returning. Every Saturday, like Brother Quamain said, we go out there soul winning. Downtown Oceanside, we preach Jesus Christ, make Him known. We're not here to build our church. As you can see, we're not mega church by any means, but we're here to let people know about Jesus. And yesterday was amazing because we did face some persecution by a lady, a woman, who was out there protesting to recall Mr. Gavin Newsom. And ironically, out of all the space there on the little pier front, right there on the corner where we are at. And so she booted one of our fellas from the corner space. And by the grace of God, we go there every Saturday. Literally, the community recognizes our consistency by the grace of God. And therefore, As soon as she posted up, I told the brother, hold it down. Hold your ground. Don't back up. He was a little shy, so I said, okay, let's swap. I'll be there. And as soon as we just continued to preach Jesus, she eventually started to become very, very rude, disrespectful. She was cursing in my face. She was spitting in my face. She was trying to pull my sign that we had, and they're not here right now, our scripture signs. She was trying to take our flyers. She took one out of my hand, ripped it, started cursing at me, yelling at me, threatening me. Brother Kwame and Brother Angelo, Brother Manny are all watching this go down. But the Lord says in Romans 12:12, we ought not to be overcome with evil. We're going to overcome evil with good. I know that my battle is not against flesh and blood. The most important thing at that moment was the testimony of us as Christians when we're being harassed by an unbeliever. And so she says, I'm going to call the cops. I said, please do, so they can instruct you on the law. I'm an American citizen. Praise the Lord. We come every Saturday. Free space. You can do your thing. And in my heart, I already discerned that that was a spiritual attack, because the message that she's proclaiming is not going to save sinners from going to hell. The message that she's proclaiming is a natural policy that will change her temporal life, but it's not going to change her eternal life. And we're out here preaching Jesus Christ, and when those two things try to unite, it's not going to happen. So politics and the faith of the gospel, one saves souls, one doesn't. One makes your life better in the flesh, one is going to either condemn or help you go to heaven. And so eventually her stand fell down twice by the wind of God. I think that was from Kenneth Copeland. It finally came true. A little poof, and the thing went down. And then ironically, I feel like that was a humbling thing there. And then she left. She got booted. She went on her way. But you know what's funny? When she did supposedly call the cops, oh, these guys out here with their Jesus signs out here, I'm trying to let people know about Newsom. I paid Uber $20 to come here, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, the world's smallest violin was playing around my ears. And towards the end, the cops came, and they were cool. I said, hello, officers. How you doing? You guys know us. We're praying for y'all. We are for the police. I told them, we love you guys. And the Lord had the victory. Amen. And so no matter what, whenever there's an effectual door open for the work of ministry, just know that you will have adversaries. That's what Paul said. So we always want to make sure that as soon as opposition rises, the Christian stands firm, because we know whom we represent. We know whom they represent. One leads to life, another one leads to death. And so by the grace of God, here's how the Lord comforted us. There was a couple walking by. They're not saved, but this is the testimony that came out of her mouth. She said, man, why do these guys have to be here every Saturday with their Jesus signs? Woo! Praise God. So Simple Faith Baptist, we are making an impact in Oceanside, and we are those Jesus sign guys, and I am so happy to know that. Amen, are you? All right, 2 Timothy 3:16. Here's what the Word of God says. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Father, I thank you for today. I pray, God, that today's message would do just what this verse just said, Lord, that it'll teach, it'll reprove, it'll correct, and it'll instruct in right things. Today, God, I don't know how many of these souls came in through these doors, and however many of those souls that are watching us online, how they're feeling or what's going on, but I pray that before they leave today, they will learn something from the Bible they didn't know before, and how they will have the opportunity to know what is acceptable in your sight and what is not, by saying, what does the Bible say about it? So, Father, today I thank you for today's message. I pray that it'll be a blessing to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is, When the Time Will Come When They Will Not Endure Sound Doctrine. When the time comes that they will not endure sound doctrine. Turn with me in one chapter to the right in 2 Timothy, to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Today's message is dealing with the church in these last days, that is, people that claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, Christianity on the outside, but inwardly and maybe outwardly may not be representing accurately the Jesus of the Bible because of these things we're going to see. The Bible says in verse number 1, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This is going to be the comparison between those that are going to endure sound doctrine and those that are not, The difference is one is going to actually preach the Bible, the other one is not. The one is going to exhort and encourage with patience Bible doctrine, the other one is not. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Notice. Now some have two various interpretations. Either A, this is a reference to unbelievers in the last days. However, we're going to see that these are a reference to believers, because I'll show you in chapter 3 that these folks are going to have a form of godliness. These folks are going to profess faith. And the Bible says that in these last days, these individuals that are going to not endure sound doctrine are going to heap after themselves teachers according to their lusts. So something that is according to the lust of man's heart is obviously not going to be in accord with the heart of God, which is found in the Word of God. And so just know that is the direction of today's message, is these days when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Now before we start, it's expedient for me to remind you that the authority of this church, Assembly of Faith Baptists, is the Word of God. The authority and what the authority should be in every Christian's life on this planet is the Word of God. God said that he gave inspiration to the Scriptures, and we are to believe every word of it in our hands today, that he did preserve what he inspired. And we are told that when we believe and approach the Bible as it is, that it is the Word of God, that it will effectually work in our life, because it will do its convicting job, its sharpening job. It'll do its instruction, its reproof, and its correction in our hearts, so that I will know what God said about everything, to make it simple. So there's, when we read Bible, we have to remind ourselves, these are not the words of Paul. These are not the words of Peter, James, and etc. But that these are the very words of the living God. And when we approach the Bible, therefore, with this mentality, the divisions and schisms would cease, because brethren would not divide about the penmen, but rather unite of the inspirer. You see, the Holy Ghost said that we ought to try to come together as a church with what did God say. Now God, through Paul, writes his second epistle to Timothy, conventionally known as the pastoral epistles. And in this epistle, he exhorts him to be mindful of the words preached to him as they are the very words of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, just a couple of chapters to the left. And we'll start in verse number 6. The Bible says here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which was in thee by the putting on of my hands. Go down to verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Go down to verse number 14. The Bible says, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What is he told to do? He is told in verse number 13 to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He is told by this apostle to hold on to God by holding on to the very words that are being proclaimed to him. The Holy Spirit is in him, and he's in us today for application. He'll never leave him, like he will never leave us or forsake us. But some of the members of his local church and some of his friends that he and Paul both grew up with will forsake. Just like some of your Christian friends today will forsake you. But before you think it's personal, you have to remember the context of chapter 1. Verse 13, the Bible says again, hold fast the form of sound words. What happens when these folks will not hold on? They will reject Scripture. Verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Sad. As Paul the Apostle comes to the end of his life, he says that all of these followers forsook me. Why? Because they did not hold the form of sound words. Two people that Timothy knew, these were his friends, like Paul, of whom are Phygellus and homogenous. Now, how sad is that? You go to church, you have your friends that go to church with you, they all believe the Bible, same Bible for that matter, and everybody is praising God, but at some point in their life, your friends begin to question the Bible, doubt the Bible, it's not as authoritative, therefore I can live however I want, and they forsake. But see, they didn't forsake you, they didn't forsake our church, they forsook God, because they did not want to hold on to the words of God, as you can see here. And so that is today's admonition. Today, we ought to hold fast on to the sound words in these last days, because there is going to come a time, and I believe the time is now, that people are not going to endure sound doctrine. People are not going to want to be a part of a Bible-based church to hear the Bible just as it is, just as he gave it, without questioning it, without modifying it, because they're going to heap unto themselves teachers after their own lust, like 2 Timothy 4 said. But we can see how it starts. It's when they forsake the words of God. So chapter 2, verse 1, Timothy's encouraged. He says, therefore, in verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, by holding on to what? The words of the Lord, from verse 13 in chapter 1. He says here in verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What things, Paul? The sound words of doctrine that he taught Timothy. He tells him to teach and commit these things to faithful men. Now, what does that indirectly teach you and I today? Obviously, there will not be faithful men all the time. There will not be faithful women all the time in your local church assembly. So whoever comes to your local church, the pastor is to look out for men that are faithful to commit unto them the following work of ministry. And obviously those that keep coming, that's what's going to show faithfulness. And those that don't, they kind of trickle. They're not. They're not faithful. These faithful words, the Bible says, are described with the obedience to the ability to teach others the Word of God. Now, something lacking more and more in today's churches as we see the day approaching. Now, verse 3, look at what he says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice the context from chapter 1, chapter 3. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, Timothy. Timothy's fearful. He didn't give him a timid spirit. Timothy's a little shy. He knows that he has a lot of problems going on. And Paul, by God's spirit, is telling him, stand firm. This is what the Lord gave you. I know these folks are going to abandon you. I know your friends are going to leave you because they're leaving me. You need to endure the hardness. You see, holding on to the truth is hard, but leaving the truth is easy. The Lord, in verse number 7, here's what he says. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I tell you right now, Christian, that the understanding of all things from the Lord doesn't come from your feelings. It doesn't come from your flesh or your favorite Google or YouTube pastor from down the street. It comes from what the Scripture says. The Lord is only going to give you understanding from His Word. I don't care what prophet or apostle you want to give money to from Africa or China. They're not speaking on behalf of God, no matter how hard they try to feel like they are. That Bible says that the Lord is going to give me understanding based on what He gave inspiration to, and that is the words of God. Go down with me to verse number 14. Verse number 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Do you see that? What do we learn from here? In verse number 14, that Timothy was to remind his church and charge them before Jesus Christ, that they ought not to question the Word of God. They ought not to doubt the Word of God. Well, the Bible could be better translated. Well, we could also use the word such and such. I tell you right now, friend, that every cult on this planet, be it the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses and every other supposed Protestant church that questions the validity of the Word of God as you have it in your hand today, that's when divisions start. Because as soon as the man of God begins to question the Word of God, then the laity will all do the same thing in their own minds. So I'm charging you today, church, you need to be mindful of what the Lord said right there in your Holy Bible. Because that's when false doctrine will begin to creep in. And you say, Brother Carlos, can you give me an example? What can I say from the Scriptures happens as a result of questioning the words of God? Let's go down to verse number 18. He says, verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. When the pastor or the teacher begins to belittle the scripture as pure and perfect, they begin to question it, they begin to question the words, etc., etc., and other men come in and begin to creep in with their doctrines, etc., God says that their actions are likened to a cancer, to a canker. It's a disease. And before you know it, it's going to tear up that local church, because now you have every wind of doctrine tossing the children of God to and fro. And Timothy knew these two gentlemen. They were his friends, Hymenaeus and Philetus. The Bible says they were saved, but concerning the truth, they have erred. Why? Because they were questioning the word of God. In verse number 18, they overthrow the faith of some. If you don't want false doctrine to creep into your life, believer, and you're listening to me right now, you better hold fast that word of God. You better surround yourself with like-minded men and women that are going to uphold you to that same Bible. Because as soon as you start congregating with folks that start questioning the word of God, every wind of doctrine, they're going to overthrow your faith. And I'm telling you, in this context, we're talking about the doctrine of the resurrection. That's going to be other New Testament doctrines for the church and what isn't for the church, and we'll talk about that. But that's where it first starts. I want you to see. Now let's go to chapter number 3, 2 Timothy 3. The word of God says in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So let me ask you a question, church, without anybody moving any forward. For any prophet or apostle or pastor who says, "I got a vision from the Lord, amen. There's going to be prosperous times in these days to come, amen. There's going to be revival to come, amen." Are they in agreement with what the Holy Ghost said to Timothy a long time ago? They're not. They're lying to you. And they're lying to their congregation. Why? Because they are questioning the word of God and its authority. And I've told my former friend, my former pastor, many times in private conversation, I said, "Brother, your supposed prophecy of end time revival is not what God said. God said that in these last days perilous times shall come, but for who? Not necessarily the world, because he deals with that in Revelation. He deals with that in 1 Thessalonians and other places. He's talking about the church. That the time is going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. The time is going to come when they're going to have false teachers. That's the perilous times that's going to come upon the church. The question for you, Christian, is, are you going to be a part of that or not? The way that you'll find out is if you're going to cling to this Holy Bible. If you're going to uphold the Word of God as your authority, you'll protect yourself from all that falseness that's going to start happening. Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." And watch this, verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." You know, Christian, today there is a domination for everybody under the sun. I call it the hometown buffet of churchdom. If you want a little sweet and spice and everything nice, there's a church down there for you. You want some homosexuality practices? Right over there. There's a woman pastoress with her shaved head, and she calls herself a pastor teacher. Go right over there. There's some homosexuality churches for you over there. You want to keep fornicating? You know, just everybody comes as they are, acceptance. There's a church down the street right over there. The Lord said that they're going to have a form of godliness. They are outwardly going to claim that they are believers in God. They'll have a Bible in their hand. And they're going to tell you, "We believe in Jesus. We believe everything that they said." But you know what they're going to do? They're going to deny the power of the Word of God. And because they deny the Word of God as the authority, who then is going to be left up to determine what is right and wrong? The man, the woman in that place of leadership. Now the Lord gave you the heart. He said they're going to be all these things, proud and without natural affection and all these various things. Why? Because they are against the truth. You know what the Holy Ghost told you to do, Christian? Like he told Timothy, you better turn away from those individuals. I don't care how big their church is, it's not going to justify the Bible. The Bible is an independent judgment of itself. Now again, notice these last days. You ought to consider Romans 1 as it pertains to God giving men over to a reprobate mind when they don't want to retain the knowledge of God in their mind. And in these last days, you know what these believers are going to do, man? God is going to give them over to a reprobate mind because they don't want his words as truth over their lives. That is a sad thing. So that's why I think, and I believe, that this is a reference to these last day believers against the authority of the words of God. Pure. Notice, they're going to willfully deny godliness. And if you go down here, the Bible says in verse number 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what that tells me? These last day believers will be acting like Christians. The Holy Spirit said they're going to have a form of godliness. So they're going to be attending their churches. They're going to have their religious institutions and organizations. They're going to continue to teach, but not the Bible. But they're going to be teaching their form and their form of truth. They're going to ever learn, but not come to the knowledge of the truth. But what form of truth will this teaching be? And by what means would the sincere Bible believer know how to identify such false truth? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 4, just one chapter to the right. We just read earlier today, but now we're getting to it more in depth. In verse number 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Notice what the Holy Spirit said. These last day believers are going to start their Bible institutions, their churches, based upon their heart and their lusts. And they're going to raise up their own ministers in that position to justify that form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power of the God they claim to believe in. I don't care if it's Methodist, Baptist, whatever title they have in front, if they are not practicing in accord with the Word of God, the Bible says they have teaching after the lust of their heart. But let's break this down. In verse number 3, the first thing we see, how this starts, is that they will not endure sound doctrine. So these last day believers will reject the wholesome words of God. They're going to reject the words of the apostles, because it doesn't line up with their number 2, as we see here, their lusts. These last day believers are going to have their lusts, and they're going to want to justify the living out of their lusts. And they will be taught. And if they can somehow fabricate and design and plan and establish this form of godliness, they're going to do it in their system, and they're going to set it up. And they're going to raise up teachers unto themselves. Notice. And in verse number 3, the last thing we see there is they're going to have itching ears. Because these rebellious believers will not accept the Bible as their final authority. They're going to ignore the complete sound words of doctrines, and they're going to listen to some truth, but then they're going to twist it. They're going to modify it to justify their lusts. So they'll hear false teachings. And in verse number 4, as the scripture says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. God says, they're going to knowingly and cognitively turn from the truth that is the Word of God. Verse number 5. Notice the comparison between the person who's going to endure and the person who's going to give in. The person who's going to walk by faith and then the person who's going to walk by feelings. Verse number 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make foolproof of thy ministry. You see, the sincere Bible believer, the sincere preacher or teacher who desires the truth, who wants to uphold truth, keep truth, is told to endure. We're told through Timothy from chapters 1 through 4 to stand firm, hold fast, endure hardness, endure afflictions, keep preaching, although they may lose friends, although they may lose men from positions of leadership because of doctrine. But you know what that's going to prove, church, believer? It's going to prove your love for the truth and your love for the ministry and the work of God. I had to make that decision a long time ago. I was either going to follow God and the Bible, or I was going to please men. And the decision that I made to depart from my former church to become a part of this church was the best, because I'm feeding the church of God the Word of God. When men wanted to justify women preachers and teachers and all these various things that contradict Scripture and false doctrines, I asked these men to show me from the Word of God to justify their teaching, because they're going to have to give an account. Not one verse was given to me to promote this. So then I said, well, Lord, you died for me on that cross. They didn't. You redeemed me with your blood. They didn't. Who am I going to have to stand before on that great judgment seat? You, Lord. So I made the choice a long time ago. I'm going to please God. Pleasing God is not going to please man. It's very clear. As you can see from 2 Timothy 1 through 4, Christian men are going to give up on you. Christian women are going to give up on you. Churches are going to give in to this because you are holding fast the form words and they're not. So that's my provoking unto you, believer. Now for the last half of this sermon, we're going to go to some Old Testament scriptures. You like that? Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 8, and we're going to read a couple of portions from the book of Proverbs, because a lot of folks say, well, then how do I know the wisdom of God? How can I tell what is right from wrong? Well, so far, I think it's pretty clear, the Bible. All right, how about that? You don't just Google search, what does the Bible say about drinking? What does the Bible say? Oh, well, let me call my favorite pastor who's going to tell me what I want to hear. No, you want to go to God. Because if you allow him to instruct you, the Bible says you're going to be wise. But if you reject the instruction from his word, you know what that Bible says? You're going to be a fool. And therefore, you're going to heap unto yourselves teachers that are going to justify your feelings. But praise God that we're going to preach the book. Amen. Because the word of God is what's going to change you, not a man. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible told you and I that all scripture is given by inspiration. Do you guys believe that? The Bible told you and I that it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Do you guys all believe that? So we can learn. And let's let wisdom speak. Verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They, the words of wisdom's mouth, are all plain to him that hath understanding, or that hath that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Go back to verse 6 with me, if you would. You know what wisdom says? Listen up. I will speak to you if you're going to allow me to speak. If you have your ears ready to hear, I'll give you the truth. But notice, wisdom says, I'm only going to speak right things. I'm not going to speak evil. I'm not going to speak contradictory. I'm going to speak pure things. Wisdom, the Bible says, is equal with right things. The second thing we learn about this is that truth is the opposite of things that are wicked, things that are an abomination to his lips. So for a church to claim that homosexuality is not a sin and it's okay, that God created you, we're going to accept you. According to God, that is an abomination. So there goes that entire religious denomination down the dumps, Methodist churches and all those other, you know, isms of men. And all these other froward teachers out there, whoever they are, whatever they speak, that Bible says that the wisdom of God is going to speak in truth, and anything contrary to that is an abomination. Notice in verse number 8, the third thing we see here about the wisdom of God, that all the words of the wisdom of God are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse. And ultimately, verse number 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know what your Bible told you in 2 Timothy 2:15? Hopefully you have a King James Bible. It tells you to study. You have to find out what God says. You have to learn. You have to take time to sit down with God, put away the distractions, put away the cell phone, and say, Lord, I'll need you to teach me right now about my profanity coming out of my mouth. Lord, is it good or not? Lord, I need you to teach me about this alcohol that I keep craving, or these perverse things I want to keep watching, or, you know, the fornication, all these thoughts. Lord, I need you to tell me. Lord, I heard pastor such and such say down the street. I heard such and such teacher say, but God, what do you say? You know what that Bible promises you and I today, friend, is if we seek that truth and we find it, those doctrines will be plain for me to understand. Because I will let God be true. I will agree with him versus arguing against him. Do you understand, church? Go down with me to verse number 13. The Bible says, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The question is, do you hate the things that God hates, Christian? Are you against the worldly practices and its evil sin as they display it day in, day out in your culture, or do you just abide by it? Do you just go with it? That Bible says if you understand the wisdom of God, you're seeking it, you're going to hate that thing. You're going to begin to have a hatred towards the things that are not of God. Because that's what he said. Does your church teach that? Is your church upholding the wisdom of God by hating evil things that men and women do on this planet? You should. Verse number 17. Bible says here, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You'll get it. You know what your New Testament said? Book of James. You like wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give it to you. But what is he looking at as you search him? Your heart. So if you want that alcohol more than God, you're not going to get it. You want that weed? You want that relationship? You want that false doctrine more than right doctrine? The Lord, he's going to withhold it. But when you're ready, all right, Lord, here it is. I'm coming to you with my humble heart. I really want to do it right now, Lord. All right, son, it's about time. Let me show you. Go to verse 35 through 36. It's pretty good because this lines up with what we were talking about with another brother. The Bible says here in Proverbs 8, 35, 36, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the local church. Wait, that's not what your Bible says, huh? Shall obtain favor with that pastor that everybody likes. Is that what your Bible says? Mm-mm. It says if you find that wisdom, you're going to obtain favor of the Lord. That is my argument against these false teachers and these bad practitioners of Christianity. While they seek to please men, find favor amongst men, I tell them that's wrong. You want to find favor with God, friend, you better do it by the book. Praise the Lord. I have assurance right now, consciously, that I am in favor with God because I'm doing what he said to do. We're not going contrary to his word. Verse 36. But he that sinneth against the church. No, that's not what it says. He that sinneth against his best friends. No, that's not what it says. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Quickly, look up to the screen, Romans chapter number 8. Look at what the Bible says. This Bible is of God. I'm telling you right now, man, this Holy Spirit, compare Scripture with Scripture. You'll learn a thing or two. I just read that if I seek after wisdom, I'll find it. If my heart's right, he'll give it to me. I'll begin to hate the things of the world, the sinful desires of my flesh. I'll begin to want to line up my life with God rather than against God. And the Holy Spirit teaches me in my New Testament, in Romans 8, verse 5, that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what that Bible gives you, friend? It gives you assurance of a peaceful conscience. A peaceful mind, when you are seeking to align yourself with what God says rather than what man says. When you want to stop living your life out in the flesh and fulfilling its desires, the Bible says that you hate the wisdom of God. And as a result, you love death more than life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life, and that life is found right here in the Scriptures. If I mind the things of the flesh, I'm minding things that are going to die. But if I'm minding spiritual things, that is right doctrine, the sound words of Scripture, I will have life and peace. That's the answer, friend, by the way, to those of you who've been asking God about that. I just showed you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9. Let's go back there. Proverbs, the 9th chapter. The Bible's good, amen? All right. I just want to make sure. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all getting a little quiet out there. Let the Bible do its job, amen? It'll bless you. Look at what Proverbs 9 says, starting in verse number 8. Word of God says here, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." So, we have two people that come to church. The one is a believer, the other one is not. The Bible just told me if I rebuke, that is, reprove and correct a brother who's living in sin or maybe has a false doctrine, they're going to appreciate that because they're saved and they want to do right by God. In other words, they're sincere. But here comes the unbeliever and we start telling them, you need to stop cursing, you need to stop sinning, you need to stop. They're going to say, oh, forget, I'm out of here. There is no benefit for me trying to tell an unbeliever to stop sinning because they can't. They need Jesus Christ. They need to be born again. You see, I didn't have the power to say no to the marijuana. I didn't have power to say no to this and that because I was not saved. But when the Holy Ghost came inside of me, when I said, Jesus, save me, that Bible says I was free from the law of sin and death. And he empowered me to say no. I could now say no, but they can't. But if you're wise, and in application today, I'm talking to amongst Christians, Bible says if somebody's instructing you and they happen to correct you, you're going to appreciate that. Why? Because your heart is right with God. You say, I want to do right. Man, brother, show me. I'm trying. Verse number 9, look. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. God says, if you call yourself a believer, and again, I'm just using this in New Testament Christian application for those of us here today, when you believe the Word of God is your final authority, and when the preacher is preaching against sin, or he's teaching right doctrine, and it contradicts your feelings or your belief, the wise will receive it, because they're seeking truth, and they're seeking it out of a fear of God. But the fool, the one in the congregation that is carnal, they're going to say, oh, but no, Brother Carlos, come on. You don't understand and all this. You're going to argue with God, not me, brother, because I'm just trying to tell you the scriptures, or sister, whoever it may be out there. Proverbs chapter 10, right inside. And before we close, we're going to wrap it up with some scripture verses that Brother Kwame and I were talking about the other night. Proverbs chapter 10, let's go down to verse number 13. All right, here's what that Bible says. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Verse number 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. You say, Brother Carlos, how do I know how I can gain wisdom? And how do I know how to avoid foolishness? Agree with God. Wise. Disagree with God, foolish. Simple. You get that, church? Real simple. Verse number 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. People come to church. They feel encouraged by the hymns. They feel encouraged by the fellowship, the camaraderie in Christ. Yeah, we're Christians. But as soon as that preacher starts preaching against something going on in their life, the conviction that God's Spirit is bringing through his word, they have two choices. You're either going to receive it, wise, increase in learning, praise God, I'm sorry, Lord, I want to start doing Bible, I want to start living the life. Or B, you're going to reject it to satisfy the flesh, and you know what that Bible says? You're going to stray from the path of life, the life that God has for you in Christ. The works that were created in you in Christ to do them. Psalm 119:105, our banner verse, Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. But if I put aside the Bible and the preaching and the fellowship and accountability, the Word of God says I'm going to err from that path of life. So let's say you came here to church today or you're watching online and or you've been coming to church, but you know sincerely in your heart, you know you really haven't been living out for God, and you know who you are. How can you get back on that path of life from the path of error? Repent and come back to this book. Start listening once again to the voice that you have inside of you, friend, and you'll get back on that path of life. Amen. Verse 21, Bible says here, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. You know what the Holy Spirit told you in 2 Timothy? Ever learning, but unable to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Foolish hearts. However, the righteous, when we're feeding those that are wise in the congregation, those that have a heart for God, fearing God, they want to do right, they're going to learn. They're going to be fed. They're going to accept the Bible because they believe it. Now, where did I read somewhere in that New Testament about feeding the church of God? Maybe back here somewhere in like Acts chapter 20. Maybe by that same apostle that we're reading about from 2 Timothy by the name of Paul. Look at what he told these Ephesian believers as he's getting ready to go on his way to some persecution. Beautifully put here in our Bible. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, Acts 20:28, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Notice, church, you don't belong to me. You belong to God. I am just here to take care of y'all. I'm here to shepherd you guys, and I'm here to feed you the Word of God, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. How do you be fed by the local pastor over your life if they're teaching you the Word of God? We just read it, Proverbs chapter 9 there. We read about that feeding, Proverbs 10. I'm going to speak from my lips the righteous words of God, and that's what's going to satisfy you spiritually because you're his, amen? You're not mine. You don't belong to a denomination, Christian. You belong to Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 10, let's go back there before we close. Verse number 21, this is going to be a good point. And when we get there, I hope some of y'all say, that's pretty good right there. Watch this, verse number 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. I don't want to have a froward tongue, brother. I think so far you know how not to do that. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Maybe there's a brother whose gear is turning already. I think he knows where I'm going. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2. Here's what that Bible says. Romans chapter 12. How can the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable before God? I'll tell you. I'm just going to feed you, those of you who are listening to my voice, Bible. And if you receive and believe it, you're going to grow. It's real simple. Just trust the scriptures. Verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's right, you got to actually do something for God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, Brother Carlos, what do I know what to do in this situation? What does God say about it? How do I know about this relationship? What does God say about it? Well, Pastor such and such is teaching this down the street. How do I know? Well, what does God say about it? The lips of the righteous is going to know what is acceptable and what is not. But if you are not renewing the spirit of your mind because you are conforming to the world, you're living out the lust of your heart, you're going to listen to false doctrine, don't be surprised when you don't know what the will of God is for your life. It's because you question it. But if you receive it and you respond in obedience, I'm telling you, friend, you're going to know. What did Proverbs 8 tell you? All these things are plain to him that hath understanding, to them that find knowledge. That's why it's easy for me to accept scripture truth, because I believe it. It's real simple. It's real simple, church. That's how you can do it. I'll give you 5 examples as we come to a close of the church not enduring sound doctrine in these days of practices that God condemns, and those that do it are in rebellion against him. So listen up. We're coming to a close. Number one, you're going to have people out there that claim in divine revelation that they still receive it today. You say, Brother Carlos, what does that mean? Oh, the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you. Oh, I have a prophecy from on high about America and Trump and all this silly stuff. But I just showed you all that Bible. I just showed you how to keep your mind on things that are acceptable. I just showed you from the Bible. It's contained in Scripture, nothing outside, all from within. If you read Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, and Revelation chapter 22, God told you if anybody adds to or takes away, God is going to judge them. The last thing that God wanted a man to know on this planet is contained within the Word of God. The book of Revelation is the last revelation that God gave to a man. Nobody today is receiving any revelation from God that he didn't already give to James, John, Peter, Paul. Sorry. You say, brother, I don't want to hurt their feelings, man. I'm telling you right now, if you don't check that fool in the flesh or that girl, fool, still, the Lord is going to, he's going to be very, very angry on that day of judgment. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For the Christian, it's going to be a terrible thing to stand before God and say, but Lord, I thought, but I really just felt my spirit, Lord. Nope. It was contrary to sound doctrine. Number two, women pastors, women teachers, women apostolesses in positions of authority. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 through 38, you're going to read about that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man, that women are not permitted to speak in the local church gathering and assembly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 15 tell you the same thing, that a woman is not to speak, but they are to ask of their own husbands at home. So before the woman of God argues with me about the Holy Ghost telling her that I'm wrong, praise God. I know who the fool is in the room, and it sure ain't me. I know who it is. I'm going to call it out. Bible's right. If I just leave it alone, it'll do its job. But that's going to be some things that the church is not going to endure in these last days. They're going to raise up under themselves women pastors, women teachers, because it's in strict accord with their lust. They want to exercise authority over man that God told Eve was going to be a curse back there in the garden, and therefore it's not in alignment with him. And there's the authority for it. I just gave you scripture. The third thing that's going to go down in these last days is that the church is not going to preach against sin. They're going to allow believers to practice sin while congregating, and you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and 6, pretty much all through the book of Corinthians. The Word of God tells believers not to associate with supposed brothers that are drinking alcohol, fornicating, extortioners, railers, and I'm telling you, those mega churches would pretty much end up like a church like ours if the teacher was teaching the book. Because God only knows how every single one of those individual members are living their life out. So that's another thing that is going to come in these last days. Christians are not going to want to do that. They're just going to want to accept everybody and love them where they're at, as you're pretty sure you've heard it said before. Number four, in these last days, they're going to forbid to marry, and they're going to command to abstain from meats, which the Bible tells you and I are doctrines of men. You can read about that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 11, Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Now, what church do you know about right now, friend, that actually has doctrines built upon days of abstaining from eating certain meats? That's a Roman Catholic church. You know what else they teach? Men not to marry. According to the God of the Bible, that is a satanic, devilish doctrine. That Bible says you're a man, you have lust in your heart, you're burning for that woman. No wonder you have all these priests committing pedophilia, because they have natural desires and they're holding it in. And how do they let it out? Well, if they stick by the book, get back in line with the Christian church, them fools are going to get married. Amen. They're not going to sin against God, but they will, and they are doing it right now. Any church that wants to establish rules and regulations outside of Scripture is false doctrine. The Mormons and any other religious New Age philosophy church out there that wants to say, hey, you can't drink caffeine. Hey, you can't do that. Hey, you can't do this. Don't touch that. Oh, you'll be defiled. Don't do this. Those are doctrines of men. If it's not in Scripture, I'm not going to hold you accountable to something that's not dogmatic. And these last days are going to command abstaining from meats. You know them churches out there nowadays and these individual believers that are spiritual by promoting diets. The keto diet. I'm a vegan, I'm a vegetarian, we shouldn't eat meat. Again, all those that promote that as God-ordained authority is false. And number five, I'll leave you with this. False doctrine in these last days. You can read about this doctrine of the Nicolaitans in Revelation 2:6 and Revelation 2:15. And I'll show you this on the screen just before I close because, again, same God gave inspiration to the same scriptures from both old to new. And as you've seen today at church, you have no excuse. There are certain things that God hates, and he hates false doctrine. Look at this, verse number 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Brother Carlos? I'm glad you asked. That prefix there, the word Nico, is to rule. The Latians, or the last part, is the laity. In these last days, you're going to have these men which exercise authority over the laity. They put themselves in a superior position over the average lay person because they are the man of God. I am the woman of God. God placed me. Don't question me. Who are you, you average member? Don't you know that I'm the man that God placed here? You could, don't question me. There are churches that practice that. The Roman Catholic Church has a hierarchical structure. Don't question them. Just kiss them. Bow down. Yes, because they're so holy with their robes and their... That Bible says that doctrine of the Nicolaitans in which men rule over other men in a position of spiritual leadership, he hates. And if you stick to a church that says the Bible is the authority, not a man, the Bible is what's going to have the business here and the rule and the authority, not what Brother Carlos interprets about this verse, the Bible is, then you're going to be in a church of a doctrine which God doesn't hate because we're not practicing this doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But that's going to happen. So church, I end with those five examples. And I tell you right now, you can either fulfill either one of those two. You're either going to be the Timothy that's going to endure hardness. You're going to be the Timothy that's going to endure afflictions. You're going to be the Timothy that is fleeing from youthful lust and all those things that are going to stop you from believing the Word of God as your authority. Or you're going to be the Philetus, the Hymenaeus. You're going to be the Hermogenes. You're going to be that brother that's going to question the pastor every time he teaches and preaches. You're going to be the brother that questions the authority that the Word of God is perfect. You're going to be that sister that's going to question your position in your marriage and the position in your church, and you don't think you should, and I feel, and I... And then before you know it, you're going to be giving yourself over to that false doctrinal church over there because they have a teacher there that agrees with you, and therefore you feel like it's okay. In these last days, a time will come, and it is now, when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. I hope you will, friend. I hope you stand firm unto the end. And for those of you who may not be a part of a local church yet or solidly plugged in, I hope and pray you start today. Make that decision because Christ is coming and he's going to hold you accountable to the Word of God and what you did for him while you were on this earth. Our church, you can find out more about us or you can join us and see how you can help us. And I'll leave you with that. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this Bible study. Lord, some of these things, a little difficult to swallow. Our ears are not as comfortable as listening to scripture that sometimes goes against what we feel. But I thank you, Lord, that you told us we don't walk by sight but by faith. I thank you, God, that you have given us the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding unto all things. But I know, God, at the same time that you told us in this book, where the heart is right, if a heart wants sin more than you, God, I know they're going to believe that. If a heart wants sin more than understanding the Word of God, I know you're going to give them over to that reprobate mind. Lord, would you protect us right now, Lord, here that are here, and them that are watching online who have a sincere heart? Would you help us to hold fast the form of sound words, sound doctrine, God? When our friends don't want to talk to us anymore and our family members don't want to hear us because we're always talking about Scripture, would you help us to endure, because you told us, Lord, that is good in your sight. You gave us assurance, Lord, that we're going to find favor with you. So, Father, I thank you for every soul. I know you have a plan for their life. I know you're not done with anybody here today, Lord. I just pray that they'll get in line with this book, God, so they can start fulfilling whatever you have for them for your glory. So we give you, O Lord God, the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, we're going to quickly partake of the Lord's